Well, thank you very much, Steve, Mr. Bowles, and good afternoon to you all. Yesterday, Mr. Bowles phoned me up and said, would I like to lead the song service and audio a sermonette? So I said, well, I don't mind doing the songs, but when you don't mind how I do the song leading. He said, it's to taped music. So I said, I'll do a sermonette. So that is why you have me speaking to you now, which is no good reason at all, I'm afraid. But what is referred to nowadays as the action films of warfare seem to hold a fatal attraction for many in the world today, especially the men folk. Many of those men have never experienced or even served in the armed forces, and it is an escapism. Now, these action-packed movies, in the main, depict war and warfare, aggressiveness, callousness, in an almost idyllic format. Involvement in fighting is presented in a glorious way. Courage, bravado, audacity, leap from the screens that we watch. There is, however, another side to warfare which does not sell tickets at the box office: pain, suffering, hopelessness, agony, and death. The sheer horror of warfare can never be adequately explained in books or indeed on the silver screen. And as a result of these tales of glory, countless generations of young men have marched away with pride to bear arms of one form or another. Many, indeed vast numbers of those young men, have not returned at all. Or if they have returned, they have returned broken in body and in spirit. Tonight, the BBC will be broadcasting from the Royal Albert Hall, the Royal British Legion's annual Festival of Remembrance. It's a tribute of remembrance to those who fell and to those who survived. It is a tribute to those British servicemen and British servicewomen who served in two world wars, or who served in the major conflicts in which this country, the United Kingdom, has been involved over the past 100 years or so. Every town and almost every village in Great Britain has a memorial to those who fell in war. The vast majority of those memorials were erected shortly after the First World War, that is, the war of 1914 to 1918, a conflict in which many towns and villages saw their young manhood virtually obliterated by the scourge of war. Perhaps the most disastrous battle of the First World War was that appallingly ill-conceived Battle of the Somme, in which many units which took part suffered casualties at 70%. Today, I want to draw our attention back to the sacrifice of those who gave their lives in war so that we could be free to live under the laws which were, and I emphasize the word were, based on the laws of God. These people fought and they bought us time to do a work and to prepare a people. We have to remember that the gospel of God's coming kingdom was never broadcast or proclaimed in any meaningful way until well after the close of the Second World War. By the mid-1980s, there was not a continent on which you could not hear, read, or see the message going out if you so wished. The men and women who fought, sometimes against overwhelming odds, may not have even had the vaguest notion as to why God had allowed this curse of war to come upon our land. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we find that those who died will be given a chance to understand why this happened. In those days, the British nation as a whole had not turned away from the laws of God, had not turned their back on God to the degree to which they have done so at this time in history. Many of those men who served in those two world wars saw great miracles of deliverance. Many of those men attributed those miracles to the hand that delivered them, to Almighty God. But today, we do not hear that God delivered this country in either world war. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9, we read the following. And there's a description which is found on both the war memorials to the dead in the village of Kildare, in actual fact, and on countless war memorials around the country. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9 reads as follows. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. As I said, part of that scripture is quoted on both the memorials at the gate to Kilgarran Castle in memory of the dead of two world wars. At the Festival of Remembrance tonight at the Royal Albert Hall, and at the Service of Remembrance tomorrow at the Cenotaph in Whitehall, you will hear the following words spoken. They shall not grow old, as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. The assembly gathered together will repeat that last stanza. We will remember them. That is also said at the opening of every meeting of the Royal British Legion, but at the closing of the meetings of the British Legion, there is a far more poignant epitaph given. It's called the Kohima Epitaph, which arises from the Battle of Kohima, which was the first major British victory in the Far East during the Second World War, on the borders between India and Burma. It was a bloody battle, and many people died on both sides. The epitaph goes as follows. When you go home, tell them of us. For your tomorrows, we gave our todays. These words are also, in one way, very appropriate to us in the church. Each day we have to give our todays to grow more like our Saviour who died for us. We have to do our part in trying to become like him, so that one day, when those winds blow on those slain, and those slain breathe again, we will be able to teach them why these things happened, and what is the way that they should be living. They gave their todays and are no longer here. We must give our todays to be here to learn now, in order that when their time comes, we will be there to teach them in their tomorrows. In closing, I'd like you to turn with me to Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. Outside the United Nations building in New York, there is a sculpture depicting a man holding a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other. And it is symbolic of verse 3, but the inscription on that particular sculpture is of an identical scripture which is found in the book of Isaiah in chapter 2. But Micah chapter 4 verse 1 we read as follows. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Eternal shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up into the mountain of the Eternal, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. This is why we have to give up our todays, that we may teach them all in their tomorrows.